Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. Just recently, we finished our two-week summer missionary training school, where we had 60 students plus our CEF staff all come together to be equipped and prepared to minister to children all summer long. This year, we even added an extra day, making it a 13-day summer missionary training school, all living together in close quarters at our CEF Camp Gnus in Washington, Illinois. Some people might think, 13 days? That's crazy. Having that many people all together, working together, studying together, eating together, and all living together for that length of time, something is sure to go wrong and you'll probably drive each other nuts. But actually, those 13 days together for both our students and for our staff was a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. On that Sunday, the first day of the training school, our staff came in early, way before the students had arrived. Not only did we want to use that time to get settled and set up for our classes, but we wanted to come together as a staff to pray for our students, to pray for one another, and most importantly, to spend time in God's Word to prepare our hearts for what God had in store for this year's training school. But right from the beginning, God was already working and knitting our hearts together in love to be on the same page. It was an amazing and beautiful thing. One of our CEF local directors shared that morning a devotional from Romans 12 about how the body of Christ, the church, God's people, are to function together and serve one another with their various spiritual gifts in love. Then later on that same day in the afternoon, we had our staff meeting where I had already prepared to share from Ephesians 4 also about the body of Christ and began by asking them this simple question, why are we here? I asked, are we only here because it's part of our job to be here as CEF missionaries? Or maybe we are here because we do want to be here. We are here to be with our students and to help them to learn to prepare for their sermon-long ministry, whether they're serving in the Phi Day Club teaching ministry or serving as a camp counselor working with children at Camp Gnus. I shared that those are all good reasons and good answers, but the real reason why we are here is not for any of those things. We are here for one reason and one reason only, for Christ, and to exercise our God-given gifts for Christ and for the body of Christ. I then shared from Ephesians 4:7-16 that makes it abundantly clear that every believer in Christ has received from the Lord spiritual gifts in various measures. These gifts are given to us by Christ and are not for ourselves, but are to be used for Christ and for the body of Christ as we serve and edify one another in love. But even though our spiritual gifts are not for us to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory only to Christ, we are to be enthusiastic about the spiritual gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. I've never forgotten what Mike Kellogg, one of my professors at Moody Bible Institute, said to our class one day. Mike was not only our speech communications teacher, but he also served on Moody Radio, producing a program that he did for many years called Night Songs. Mike explained to our class what the word enthusiastic actually means. In Greek, it means in theo, in God, or literally having God in us. In the early church, the Christians were so enthusiastic about their faith and living out their faith in Christ that the Greek-speaking non-believers around them had to come up with a new word just to explain these Christians' excitement and passion for God. It was like God was actually in them, inside them, radiating out all through them and all that they said and did as they served the Lord. So a new word was coined, in theo, enthusiastic, to describe these believers in Christ. In the same way, Mike said to our communications class that we are to be enthusiastic about the spiritual gifts that God has given to each of us so that when we are in our niche, in our spiritual gifts groove, as we serve the Lord, others can see that it is God in us who comes out shining through. There are actually four spiritual gifts passages in Scripture, Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4 and Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The chapter numbers actually makes it easier to remember. There are 2 4s and 2 12s. But it's clear that all four of these spiritual gift passages echo the same teaching, that not only does every believer in Christ possess spiritual gifts, but our spiritual gifts are different from one another and are given out in different measures. Everyone is not a teacher. Everyone is not an administrator. Everyone does not possess the gifts of giving, helps, or service, or mercy. We are all different from one another, but we are designed by God to be that way. I shared with our staff that especially during the 13-day training school that we had, that we must embrace our uniqueness in the body of Christ, while at the same time we must embrace our differences because we are each gifts from God given by Christ for one another. I love Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, because it explains succinctly what the spiritual gifts are for. It's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Some people do categorize spiritual gifts into two main categories, those whose gifts are more evangelistic for the unsaved, and those whose spiritual gifts are more discipleship in nature for the saved. But the scriptures do not teach this. It is categorically wrong. Rather, the scriptures teach that all of our spiritual gifts are for the saints, for the believer who is in the body of Christ, both for those saints who are in Christ now and also for those saints who are chosen by God to be in Christ one day yet to come. So from God's perspective, from eternity past to eternity future, all of our spiritual gifts are for the saints, for God's people who are in Christ. I mentioned this to our staff the day the training school began to remember that these 60-some students are, in God's eyes, saints. They may not always act like saints, but they are saints because of their faith in Christ. I also reminded the staff of seven key words I recently found in 1 John chapter 3 concerning our future sainthood in Christ in eternal glory that says, "We are not what we will be." And in the same way, I encourage the staff to also remember that when one of these 60-some students who do something during the next 13 days seemingly unsaintly, to also remember the same thing, that they are not what they will be either. But what exactly is our goals that we should have as we use our God-given gifts God's way? Well, we don't have to guess. The scripture tells us plainly there are actually three full goals found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. First, that we would all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Second, that we would use our gifts by speaking the truth in love to one another, growing up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And third, that we, the whole body, would be fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The first goal mentioned in Ephesians 4:13 is a mouthful, but it can best be seen as one unbroken golden chain. It's not that some of us believers come to faith in Christ, and then some to the knowledge of Christ, the Son of God, and then some of us move on to being one day complete in Christ, measuring up to the full measure of Christ. No, all of us in Christ all come. In God's eyes, who we are in Christ by faith and who we will yet be in Christ positionally is already a done deal. In God's eyes, all of us in Christ are already there. Romans 8:29-30 says it like this: "From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." If you put this golden chain together, as theologians like to call it, you get the ever-forward motion of what God is doing in a chosen believer's life, one of God's saints, from beginning to end. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. And after I shared this with my staff, I then asked a question. So where does our spiritual gifts fit into God's timeline of his purpose for every saint? Well, that's easy. Between our justification and our glorification state, it's all part of our sanctification process of becoming more like Christ. That means one of the main purposes of our God-given spiritual gifts is to come alongside one another by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to help encourage each other in our now and not yet glorification state unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But what is absolutely critical to remember in this unbreakable golden chain of God's salvation plan is that we do not do any of it. It is only God who does this every step along the way. So when it comes to utilizing our God-given spiritual gifts, it is simply a privilege to partner together with God in one another's salvation, sanctification, glorification process, knowing it is what God does from beginning to end in the life of every believer. One of the main purposes of our training school is also to ground our students in the gospel message, that the gospel will just flow out of them in their belief in Christ and service for Christ, not only for a summer thing, but for their whole life long. One of the students at our closing program gave a testimony that he must have either heard or spoken the gospel while at our training school over 100 times. Now, that's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but the point that he was making is that now he really understands the gospel, and he's confident not only in his own faith in Christ, but in sharing the gospel with others. And that's the point of Ephesians 4:14, that we would be so grounded in our faith in Christ, in the knowledge of Christ, and in our standing in Christ, including who we are now and who we will one day yet be, that we from this time forth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. These men do not speak the truth, but the untruth of the gospel, desiring to take us away from the simple gospel message of God's grace alone, by faith alone, and in Christ alone, where our salvation is only found. I remember back from my childhood days an old nursery rhyme called Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary. Then it asked a simple question, how does your garden grow? The answer is a bit confusing, but at least it does rhyme. It says, with silver bells and cockle shells and with pretty maids all in a row. Whatever that nursery rhyme actually means has probably been lost in the annals of history because no one seems to agree. But whatever it does mean, one thing is clear. That is not how the body of Christ grows. The last two verses in Ephesians 4:15 and 16 tells us how the body of Christ does grow and how we are to use our God-given spiritual gifts, and it all comes back to one word, love. Love for God and love for one another in the body of Christ is what makes us move and grow. We are to speak the truth in love to one another and for one another, that we may grow up unto him which is the head, even Christ. And lastly, we are in every part, the whole body, fitly joined together, and every joint, every part are to work together, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Recently, I watched The Flight of the Phoenix, which is an old Jimmy Stewart movie from 1965. It's about a plane crash landing in the Arabian Desert and how the need for survival brought together a group of totally unrelated men from various backgrounds, even from different countries. Amidst great internal friction, tumultuous leadership strife, and unending physical challenges, this thrown together group of men finally worked together as one to rebuild the crashed airplane. Then finally, after over 13 days of grueling tests of the limits of human strength and endurance, this plane, like the mythical phoenix bird of old, rises up out of the ashes, and the engine roars back to life again, flying the men to safety, serenity, and the most beautiful thing that they ever saw, an oasis full of life-saving water. Many people see in this fictional movie a beautiful picture of the indomitable human spirit to triumph over extreme circumstances and against all odds. But when you peel back the high note ending and look at the core, you see the truth of what actually threw the men to work together to build the rising phoenix was not the most beautiful thing you ever saw, but a selfish desire to only survive. It wasn't out of love for others, but love for self. This is not to be in the body of Christ. Our spiritual gifts are given by Christ and are all for Christ and for the body of Christ as we speak to one another the truth in love and edify one another by every part working effectually together in love, all out of God's great love and his unending grace and love for us. And when that happens, like a growing, unfolding flower, or many people all working together as in one, in love and unity, such as at our 13-day Sermon Missionary Training School, it is one of the most beautiful things you ever saw. It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we all seek to work together in the body of Christ, wherever we are found, as we make Christ known to the future generations.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.